Today in lesson three, last week we talked about the great apostasy and the departure from truth. Today, I want to talk to you about another prophetic sign that Jesus mentioned in the gospel was that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached to all nations, and then the end would come. The gospel of the kingdom, he said, would be preached in all the world. This is one of the prophetic signs that Jesus said would take place before the second coming of Christ. So this is a real encouraging one, and one that all of us can participate in. See, the gospel of the kingdom is not just mere words. It is a gospel of words and deeds. For example, in Romans chapter 15, Paul said that people turn to Christ through his preaching, but not because of his preaching alone, but because the preaching was accompanied by miraculous deeds. So, Romans 15, 19, he declared through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I believe that is loaded with meaning. When he said, I have fully preached it, I have declared the book of Acts, he said, the whole counsel of God. We have to preach all the gospel. The gospel is a gospel of salvation, but it's also a gospel of healing. It's also a gospel of deliverance. It's also a gospel of signs and wonders. And that's why he says in Romans 15, 19, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. See, that's what the kingdom, or that's what the gospel of the kingdom is. And that's what Jesus said would happen prior to the second coming of Christ. There would be a worldwide proclamation of the gospel. So we have the verse right here in Matthew 24, 14. Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached, and all of the world has a witness. It's going to be a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. All right, so how many of you see that's a prophetic clue, right? That's a prophetic sign because he linked it. He linked the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to the end of the world as we know it. Second coming of Christ. All right, so he made that connection. All right, then in Matthew 24, 30 to 31, he says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Man, what a day that is going to be. Can you imagine it? And the Bible says that all the world is going to see his glory. All the world. It says the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth, just like the waters cover the sea. Worldwide revelation of Jesus Christ. He's coming with power and great glory. And then it says he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, that's the harvest of souls, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Man, what an incredible prophetic clue. A great sign that there would be worldwide gospel impact. Let's define what the gospel of the kingdom is. I think it's important that we understand that. Because Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. All right, so the word kingdom is the Greek word basileia, which means the realm in which a sovereign king rules. The word kingdom refers to the rule of Christ in the hearts of believers and the ultimate manifestation of the kingdom of God at the end of time. All right, so it is a realm in which a sovereign King rules. How many of you know his name? Well, y'all did better than the first crowd. The first service this morning, they must have been a little sleepy. It took them a few seconds before they responded. Yeah, his name is Jesus. He is the King. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the only, Paul said in the book of Timothy, he's the only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said there's only one. Amen? There's only one. And his name is Jesus. All right, so the word kingdom, it means that realm in which a sovereign king rules. Now, many of you have come from Catholic background or maybe were taught catechism. So you're well familiar with what is referred to as the Lord's Prayer, right? We find it recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus was giving us a pattern to pray, and he gave us what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. So he said, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, praise, glory, worship be to God. Notice verse 10, your kingdom come. All right, so his kingdom is coming. All right, so Jesus said we should pray it. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come is an expression of desire that God may reign everywhere. Now, how many of you know he's not reigning everywhere yet? Because there is still this issue called rebellion, this problem called sin. On Bourbon Street, God's not reigning in the clubs, right? Yet, because there's sin, there's darkness, there's rebellion. You know, so his will is not being done in the clubs. Are y'all with me? All the barrooms are going to get saved in Jesus' name. I remember years ago we had an evangelist from Kentucky. We had a week of revival. You know, back in the day, used to start on Sunday. You have a whole week of revival services every night. And the services, man, the services were long. I mean, we're talking 2 to 3 hours. I mean, Becky says 4 hours. Becky knows she was raised in it. And so we had an evangelist, and the brother was, he was like a prophet. He could, like, read people's mail. And he was always right on. I mean, he had an extraordinary gift the way God used him. So we take him to lunch in the French Quarter. And we're on Decatur Street having lunch. And he said, Pastor, how far are we from Bourbon Street? He said, I've heard so much about it, you know, so much notoriety about Bourbon Street. And he said, how far are we from it? I said, oh, we're 3 blocks away. He said, can we take a walk over there? I said, are you sure? You know, middle of the day, right? So there's really not a lot of action going on. You know, you're getting restocked for the night. So I said, yeah, sure, we'll take a walk over there if you want to. So we walked over. We walked 1 block. He said, Pastor, I've seen enough. Let's go. And that's in the daytime. So God may not be ruling there yet, but his kingdom is coming. His laws will be obeyed. And the gospel of Christ will be advanced everywhere till the world is filled with his glory. Isn't that exciting? Man, that we are living in a moment of time, in a moment of history, where the gospel of the kingdom is being preached around the world. No, not everybody's serving him yet. And there's pockets of darkness all over. But the Bible still says the earth is the Lord's and the glory thereof. When we went to the Grand Canyon 3 years ago, some of you probably have been there. Many of you may not. If you have not, you've got to go see that. That is the most, I'm telling you, the most incredible thing that I have ever seen in my life. To just go stand there and look over that rim and the depth of it and it's so massive. And I mean, it covers miles. They were talking to us about another point of the canyon. And I was like, man, I want to go see that point. I said, how far do we have to go? He said, oh, it's about 7 hours. I was like, 7 hours? He said, yep, 7-hour drive. Massive. Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen? The earth is the Lord's. But the problem of evil is in people. The darkness is in people. So Jesus said, thy kingdom come. It's an expression of desire that God may reign in the hearts of people, that his laws will be obeyed. And that's why we hold forth the word of life. And that's why we go and we preach the gospel around the entire world. His kingdom is coming. And when someone gets born again and they become a child of God, the kingdom just expanded. Right? The kingdom just expanded. It might just be by one soul, but the kingdom expanded. Because the glory of God, his law is being obeyed. Everyone is sin, every man is sin and falls short of the glory of God. But when the gospel is preached and received, then people are born again. That brings me to number two on the outline. See, the gospel of the kingdom is the good news of repentance, redemption, and restoration that is offered to all who will receive Jesus Christ. And those who do so, they become part of the eternal kingdom. Eternal kingdom. I love the story in the Gospels when Jesus heals a man who had a spirit of infirmity for 38 years. How many of you know that's a long time to be sick? 38 years. I don't like to be sick one day because I can't go fishing. I'll go fishing if I'm sick. I'm serious because I'm passionate about it. I'll go to church if I'm sick because I'm passionate about it. I probably wouldn't go to work if I'm sick. Would you? Probably not, especially if you got sick days, right? I remember when I was in the beverage industry in the sales department, I was sitting in the district manager's office one morning. Guy called. All my stories are true. Guy calls. It was a driver. And he said, Michelle, his guy's name was Steve Michelle. He said, Michelle, he said, I'm not coming in today. He said, I'm really feeling bad. This was so funny. He said, are you serious? He said, because it sounds like an outboard motor that I hear running. Oh, no, somebody's running these weed eaters and lawnmowers right outside the house. That guy was lying. He wasn't sick. He was fishing. I don't like to be sick one day. But here's a man sick for 38 years. So Jesus asked him the question, wilt thou be made whole? There's so much meaning in that statement. See, because Jesus doesn't just want to heal somebody's body. He wants to heal their soul. He wants to restore their spirit. He wants to put them back together to complete working order. And that, my friend, is what the gospel of the kingdom does. And it's offered to all who will receive Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Wilt thou be made whole? Yes, the gospel restores wholeness. If you're here today and you're not whole, I'm here to tell you that the gospel of the kingdom can restore you. It can heal the sickness in your soul. It can restore your health in your body. It can restore your mind to proper working order. And that's why Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end shall come. Number three, the gospel of the kingdom is the good news that there is freedom from our bondage to sin if we repent and turn to God. You know, I've said this before, I'll say it again. So many times people want to add God to their lives rather than give him their lives. See, we can't add God to our lives. We don't just add church to our lives. We surrender to his cause, to his plan, to his purpose. And that's why I'm a strong advocate for the local church, and that we should be committed to the local church, that the church should be supported financially. The church should be supported prayerfully. The church should be supported, through serving. You know, because Jesus said, I will build my church. So if he's building it, I want to build with him. I want to build what he's building. Amen. I want to love what he loves. Hallelujah. And book of Ephesians says, Christ loves the church. That doesn't mean the building, right? It means the body of believers. It means the family of faith. Hallelujah. There's something that we receive from one another. I mean, one of the greatest joys of pastoring is all the incredible people that we get to meet along the way. All that we're constantly adding people into our circle. Now, sometimes people may leave the circle, but we didn't kick them out, you know. But that's the incredible thing about it, because the body of Christ is so awesome, because it's people that have been healed and restored, and they have been delivered from the bondage of sin. And even Peter said, he said, surround yourself with people of like precious faith, because the people in the clubs, they're not going to help you live for God. Just saying. Amen. They're not going to help you live for God. People you're working with that, you know, that are doing this and doing that, they're not going to help you live for God. It's the context of the body of believers, those who have been delivered and set free. So that's why number three, you know, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom is the good news that there is freedom from our bondage to sin if we repent and turn to God. So he doesn't just deliver us from the penalty of sin, the punishment of sin. He delivers us from the power and the authority of sin. At one time I lived in sin, but not anymore. I don't live in sin. I might commit a sin, because I can do that by a bad attitude, a wrong thought in my mind, wrong word out of my mouth, you know, something I allow into my eye gate. But I don't continuously live in sin. There's a huge, huge difference. Amen. And that's why the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He breaks the power and the authority of sin. It's demonstrated right here in these verses in Romans 6. He says, but thank God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient with all your heart to the standard of teaching in which you were instructed and to which you were committed. See, we commit ourselves to his word. We commit ourselves, obedience of the heart, to the standard of teaching. We commit ourselves to the law of God, because that's what the gospel of the kingdom is. It's the law of God, obeying the laws of God. So every time I take a step of obedience, I am advancing the kingdom. Every time. Every time you take a step of obedience, if you read something in the Word of God and you say, you know what, tomorrow morning, Monday morning, I am going to dedicate this day to fulfilling this verse. It could be something as simple as be kind to one another. Just you could just say, this day, I'm going to go out of my way to be kind. You can be kind to the pastor. You can bring him crawfish, shrimp, crabs. You will be blessed. And the Lord God will prosper you. See, that's how kindness works. Well, now let me get serious. Because real kindness is being kind to people that don't appreciate it. Now we're talking the gospel. Amen? You know what the Bible says? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said that the Father shows kindness to the unthankful. Now think about that. The Father shows kindness to the unthankful. I don't know about you, but I like to bless people that are grateful, help people that are grateful, right? But the Bible says, see, that's just the character and nature of God. And the more we get the Spirit of Christ on the inside of us, the more we reflect that. See, and the kingdom is advancing. And we're fulfilling Romans 6 right here. God be thanked that we were slaves of sin, but we became obedient and we were set free from sin. We became slaves of righteousness, of conformity to God's will and purpose. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I want to be conformed. And isn't that in the Lord's Prayer that we just read? Amen. I want to conform to God's will and purpose because that, my friend, is how the gospel of the kingdom works. We conform to it. And when we conform to it, God uses us as vessels, instruments, and channels for the kingdom. And we are able to touch people with the gospel of the kingdom in all of our circles of influence. Let me move on to the next thing, number four. One of the greatest fulfillments of biblical prophecy is a worldwide preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Worldwide, one of the greatest fulfillments. All right, Mark's gospel records this. In Mark 16:20, it says, and they went out and preached everywhere. Everywhere. They preached everywhere they went. And it says, the Lord was working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. That's exactly what Paul said in Romans 15. He said, people didn't just come to Christ because I preached a nice message. He said, I preached a message, and then supernatural things happened with the preaching. We must always make that connection. Things happen when the gospel is preached. That's why I love to gather around these altars. Come to the altar. Get to the altar. Spend time around the altar. Prayer meeting. There was a time when there used to be all night prayer meetings in the church. All night. New Year's Eve. Used to have watch night services. It started 9 o'clock. And we were there probably till almost 1. That was back in the day, right? Back in the day. Now, America has become so sophisticated. And there's so much, you know, the industry and all the things that are in this. Let's face it, there's a lot of distractions in this country that distract us from the most important things. Now, I'm not saying that we have to have four-hour church services, but I'll say this. If I can go to a three-hour football game, I don't see them complaining. They just drink more. I'll bring a flask of sweetened tea. That's all I need. They don't complain. But my point is, listen, if it takes 4 hours to get a breakthrough, I'll give 4 hours. I remember one time years ago, we had an incredible altar call after a church service one night. It was a night service when they used to have night services. And Sunday night service, it was called the evangelistic service. That was the time when you brought people in that were lost, and you'd pray. And Becky knows she was raised in a pastor's home, and she was raised in the midst of those kind of services. And she could tell you, and all her stories are true. And she could tell you some things that she's seen over the years. Amen? And she could tell you a Sunday night service when somebody saw a glow over the church where her father was pastoring and called the fire department. All of Becky's stories are true. Called the fire department. Now, Pastor Hunt, he was old school now. So the fire department comes rushing in. It was one of those Holy Spirit moments. They were having a move of God in a Sunday night service. People were being touched, healed, delivered. This gospel of the kingdom. Signs, wonders, miracles. Things were happening. I think we've lost it in America, but my friends, it's happening around the world. And I think we can get it back. It's happening around the world. Fire department comes rushing in. Where's the fire? Pastor Hunt says, only fire that's in here, you ain't going to put out with that hose. Isn't that what he said? Yeah. Kathy knows. Some of those that were with us back in the day. That was move of God. See, I think sometimes we get so sophisticated with the gospel. But we got to go back to what the Word says. And the Word says, they went and they preached, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the Word through the accompanying signs. And Paul said it wasn't just mere words of preaching in Romans 15. It was through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. I have fully preached the gospel. This, my friend, is a prophetic sign that we are going to see happen before the second coming of Christ. And I believe we're going to see it in America. Hallelujah. Thank God. In the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things. Making disciples of all nations. And he said, and lo, I am with you always. You see, it's so easy to focus on what's going on in our world. But one of the greatest fulfillments of Bible prophecy is a worldwide preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And that's why we must understand what that means. Because that gospel of the kingdom, it means healing, it means deliverance, it means miracles, it means supernatural things happening. It means the Lord confirming the word with signs following. That is what the gospel of the kingdom really means. And it's so easy to focus on wars, disasters, scandals, politics, tragedies, other forms of evil. But God is moving around the world. As the gospel is preached, he's moving. And even though we are in a time, we are in America, we are in what is called the post-Christian era. That's what is now coined of the time that we are in here in the United States. What that means is that gospel influence is weakening in this nation. It's weakening. Spirituality is on a downward trend. People may have spirituality, and when I say spirit, I'm talking about gospel spirituality. People may have a spirituality that's rooted in New Ageism or false religions. And, you know, people have all kind of belief systems. There's no doubt about that. But I'm talking about gospel spirituality that's rooted in relationship with Jesus Christ. Big difference. See, there's a decline in this nation. There's a decline. This nation as a whole, people are rejecting the gospel. There's a turning away from the gospel. There are hundreds of churches that close in America every month, we're told. Now, there's still church plants, thank God. There's still new ones springing up. Now, some of them will be successful. Many of them will not. It's not as easy as people think it is to do a church plant. You know, just designate a spot and show up and preach, and you know, and everything will just be fine and dandy. But there's so much more. I mean, first of all, you got to have workers and people that are willing to work to make it. It's like the old saying: teamwork makes the dream work. And that is true, even though it's a little cliche. That is true. It takes a lot. But there's so many that are closing their doors. So many denominational churches that can't even hardly pay the bills. Do you know why that is? Because there is a misplacement of the gospel of the kingdom. Back in the day when they used to have tent revivals, Oral Roberts. I'm going to be in Fayetteville, Arkansas this week. I was trying to get out of it until the chairman called and said, listen, we got a big meeting. I serve as a presbyter. I'm still trying to get out of that because I've served for several years now. And we need you there. There's a lot of things that that are going to be discussed and presented. I'm like, okay. The chairman calls, you go. So I'm going to be in Fayetteville this week. And I'm going to be in touch with some tremendous ministries and missionaries. And we're going to have a panel session with Dr. Mark Rutland. Dr. Mark Rutland was university president for Oral Roberts University for many years. He's got a different mantle now. He's doing other things for the gospel. But just an incredible, incredible man. I've already met him because he spoke at our conference a few years ago. But we... they asked us to submit questions. So I've submitted some questions, and I can't wait to see the answer to these questions. Because, boy, we are dealing with some stuff today, my friends. Amen? We are dealing with some stuff today. So I can't wait to hear, you know, what Dr. Mark Rutland is going to say. But when you talk about a harvest, I mean, here's a man that was involved in incredible areas of ministry. You know, Oral Roberts University, back to the days of tent meetings. R.W. Shambach, tent meetings. You know, back at A.A. Allen, tent meetings. Now, I'm mentioning old-time gospel pioneers of a bygone era. Before we had mega churches, what they call mega churches in America. You know, and we have all these mega churches, but the spiritual condition of people has never been worse. You know, and again, why is that? I think it's because we are missing the gospel of the kingdom. Because the gospel of the kingdom, you see what happened in those times, in that era, there were miracles. People were flocking. They didn't care about the heat. They didn't care about bugs. They didn't care that you were on a straw floor. There were miracles that were happening. Healings were happening. The gospel was being preached, and God showed up. It was the gospel of the kingdom. But I think today we've made it so sophisticated. But I think we got to get back to the gospel of the kingdom. Greatest fulfillment of the gospel of the kingdom. Worldwide preaching. It is estimated that there are now more than 100 million Chinese believers. Now, we're talking about in areas of the world that do not have what we have. They don't have the freedoms and liberty that we have. Of course, you know, those are big political issues right now. You know, about, you know, imported, you know, and of course, you know, everybody knows President Trump is very controversial. I think that most presidents usually are. You know, So there's no doubt there's in politics, there's always controversy. There's no doubt about that. You know, so there's been on the news about tariffs and all of these things. You know, but, you know, I did a little test. I just kind of went to my closet, and I'm a shirt guy. Y'all like my shirt? I got it on sale. I'm a Dillard's man. Becky's a Macy's woman. We make an awesome combination. I go to Dillard, she goes to Macy. I said, I don't care where they go, to Walmart. If you bring me something, I'm going to give you a kiss, baby. Hallelujah. I know how this thing works. Come on, man. So I went to my closet, started looking at some of my shirts, made in Vietnam. Yeah. I could not find one garment that said it was made in America. Not one. Go to Walmart, made in America. It's a global world in which we live, my friends. And think of, you know, all of, and of course, you know, part of the controversy is, and there's even been politicians running for office that kind of make those arguments, you know, and, you know, the what they call really slave labor, because they can produce it so cheap, and then they send it here, you know, because of the economy of America. You know, just some little side information to just kind of throw in the mix here. And I mention it for this reason. And we're talking about 100 million Chinese believers that work under hard conditions and don't have what you and I enjoy in this nation. Josiah called us on the phone yesterday, said we were at the snowball stand getting a snowball. Josiah said, he called me, he said, I think the air conditioner's broke. It's 95 degrees in the house. I said, oh, Jesus. 95. Said, no, it ain't. If it's 95, it ain't working. But I thank God somebody invented that little reset button. I don't know what magic it worked, but boy, it worked some magic. And it was red letter edition because the button was red. And I pushed that thing, and it's been cooling ever since. I'm just, when I go home today, please. But you know, we take so many things for granted. You know, so once the air conditioner kicked in, then I'm just laying on the sofa. Excuse me. I'm laying on the sofa, turn on the ceiling fan. Then I'm watching a sporting event, and I could feel, oh, man, it's starting to cool off already. I said, life is so incredible. Yeah, you know, you take it for granted until you don't have it. Do you realize 50% of the world cannot take a hot bath or a hot shower? Nothing like a hot shower, not right now, but, you know, but still, you don't want to go take a cold shower, right? Well, let me get off of that, but so many things we take for granted in this nation, but 100 million Chinese believers in dire conditions, without the comforts that you and I have, and have made commitments to Jesus Christ, because the gospel of the kingdom is being preached around the world and people are coming to saving faith. Amazing things are happening across Africa, Asia, and Latin America. We may not see it in the United States, but my friend, it's happening around the entire world. Let me move on. We're almost done. Number five. See, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom will result in a global harvest of people coming to Christ prior to God executing judgment. So if you read in Revelation chapter 16, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches. And they gathered them together to a place called, in Hebrew, Armageddon. What we refer to as the Battle of Armageddon. It's going to be a time where God executes judgment. Do y'all see that? And Jesus said, I'm coming like a thief in the night. And judgment will be executed. However, prior to that, and one thing about doing two church services, when you forget to include a passage in your sermon outline, and then you can't remember exactly which one it was, then I can correct it in the intermission, and I can get it ready for the second service. So today, I'm corrected. Hallelujah. Because I forgot to include this most vital, important passage of Scripture that's here in Revelation chapter 14. All right, so Revelation 16 tells us plainly that Jesus is going to, at the end of time, judgment will be executed. But before that happens, notice what we read in Revelation, and you can add this, you can write this down on the sermon notes. Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. He said, then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man. All right, how many of you know, man, that this is a vision of Jesus, right? Having on his head a golden crown. King of kings, Lord of lords. But notice what it says next. And in his hand, a sharp sickle. This is all symbolic. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, and the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. We're talking about a harvest of souls. Moving on to number 6. See, there is going to be a global harvest of souls. And in this global harvest of souls, it will happen, much of this will happen in what is called the 1040 window of nations. And the 1040 window of nations is illustrated in that block. And you can see that red area. All right, that area, that 1040 window identifies a section of the world encompassing North Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. It has been termed by missions organizations that this is the last frontier to fulfill the Great Commission before Jesus Christ comes. So this is the last frontier. So once this group is reached, what did he say he's going to do? He's going to thrust the sickle. Hallelujah. And there's going to be a reaping of souls. Now, it's called the 1040 window because it extends from latitude 10 degrees north to 40 degrees north of the equator. When you start talking longitude and latitude, immediately we start plotting the hurricanes, right? You know, the weather people, they're gonna, you know, they'll give you the coordinates and because you plot it. They're already watching something that might develop this week. I'm glad I'm leaving town. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're all on your own. You're all on your own until I get back Thursday night. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding. I'll call you. See how you're doing. But that's why they call it the 1040 window. It extends from latitude 10 degrees north to 40 degrees north of the equator. Here's an interesting thought. Nearly 4 billion people. Now, it's estimated that world population is now over 7 billion. People are having a lot of babies around the world. All right, so, yeah. So, estimated that the present world population right now is already over 7 billion. You ought to see the numbers of what's calculated in the next 10 years and what is forecast of world population. All right, so as it stands right now, we're already at 7 billion population on a global basis. All right, so in this 1040 window, 4 billion people. That's over half. of the population of the entire world that is living in this 1040 window. Now, guess what? That includes Hindus, Buddhists, bunch of Muslim population. No wonder that's been termed the last frontier for gospel ministry, the 1040 window. It is also estimated that in this block, this 1040 window, of the 4 billion people that live here, 90% of them are the poorest people of the world. The poorest, 90% poorest people of the world. Look at what this verse says, Revelation 7:9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. So these are people that are going to be the harvest. They are clothed in white robes. They're born again people. And notice what it says, out of all nations, tribes, people, and tongue, every people group. Could that possibly be a prophetic statement in reference to this 1040 window in which 4 billion people live? I believe it could. My friends, could we possibly be at the threshold of seeing the gospel of the kingdom preached to all nations, and then the end shall come? I believe we are. I believe we could very well be at the threshold. So I'll leave you with this last and final thought, number 7. Because we are moving towards the manifestation of the kingdom of God and the awesome appearance of Jesus Christ. My friends, he is coming back, but he's not coming back riding on a donkey. He's coming back riding on a white horse with fire in his eyes, and his name is called the Word of God, and on his vesture and breastplate it is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is the Word of God. He is the fulfillment of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. The same was in the beginning with God. Nothing was made without him, and by him all things were made. And in him is life, and that life is the light of men. Come, Jesus. Are you ready, my friends? Are you ready? If the trumpet would sound today, do you know that you are with God, that you have the seal of adoption upon you, and you are a born-again child of God? This is why Paul told Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. That's what we must do. He said, be ready in season and out of season. You know what that means? To be out of season means that there will be seasons when people reject the gospel. Paul said, preach it anyway. Hallelujah. He said, but there's going to be seasons when people receive the gospel. Preach it powerfully. Hallelujah. In season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Then I'll leave you with this last one in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, I'm a kingdom citizen. I don't belong to this world. Hallelujah. He called me out. I am not a part of this world. He has called me out. I have been translated according to the word of God out of the kingdom of darkness. And I have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. Hallelujah. And I want to occupy till he comes. I want to stay on fire for God. I want to stay prayed up. I want to stay studied up. I want to stay ready because I don't know. He's coming like a thief in the night, and I don't know when he's coming. And that's why I want to be ready. So he says, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And this is like, verse 29 is like a P.S. You know, when you write letters and then you finish the letter and then, by the way, you know, P.S. Our God is a consuming fire. Thank you for the reminder. Hallelujah.